WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Robert Redford and Brad Pitt star in the new thriller Spy Game. It's directed by Tony Scott, whose movies include The Hunger, Top Gun, Crimson Tide, and Enemy of the State. Although Spy Game finished shooting before September 11th, film critic John Power says it's a movie of the moment.
Talk about hitting the zeitgeist right on the button. For the last 2 months, the whole country's been saying that our intelligence services need to get smarter, tougher, and more hands-on. Now here comes director Tony Scott with a revved-up star vehicle that makes old-fashioned spying seem cool. Set in 1991, Spy Game stars Robert Redford as Nathan Muir, a CIA case officer of the old school, ruthless but in the service of the greater good. He's about to make a clean retirement when his idealistic but still murderous protege Tom Bishop, that's Brad Pitt, gets captured by the Chinese trying to rescue an imprisoned aid worker, played by Catherine McCormick. He's going to be executed in 24 hours. Naturally, the agency's slippery bigwigs are prepared to sacrifice Bishop as a geopolitical chess move. Just as naturally, Muir will do anything to save him. And so even as they pump him for information about Bishop, the movie's told largely in flashbacks over many years, Muir is secretly working to spring the spy he helped bring into the service. Here, at a Berlin bar, Muir instructs his young operative in the ultimate principles of spycraft.
Was ist das an you? Haben Sie da einen anderen?
Ja. Wir haben einen besseren.
Das ist ein
Lübiger. I thought spies drank martinis.
Scotch. Never less than 12 years old.
Is that right? Agency rules?
My rules.
Right, so what else? What else do I need to know?
Put away some money so you can die someplace warm. Don't ever touch it. Not for anyone, ever.
Okay. Is that it?
Don't ever risk your life or your career for an asset. Comes down to you or them, send flowers.
On the face of it, Spy Game looks to be about long twilight struggle stuff. The moral compromises involved in espionage, the patriotic need to get your hands dirty. Both Muir and Bishop perform political assassinations, and they treat those around them as, quote, assets, who can be discarded to save an operation or themselves. They do the kinds of things that make you wonder who's the good guy here, which isn't a question we usually ask during movies starring these two actors. Indeed, there's something undeniably seductive about the pairing of the weather-beaten Redford and the still fresh-faced Pitt, mirror image golden boys of different generations. It was Pitt, after all, who Redford cast to play the Redford-like role in The River Runs Through It. And Spy Game's at its best in the scenes when Muir is training Bishop in the complexities of the spy game, showing him the ropes like a jaded Obi-Wan Kenobi. Such mentoring scenes tap into mythic patterns. Harry Potter offers the same thing. And Pitt and Redford's scenes together take on an added resonance because of their iconic significance. The popular young star replacing the fading old one. Pitt, who's nearly always better than I expect he's going to be, makes the most of a specious character, the quiet American-type assassin who hasn't lost his innocence. He's got enough charisma to make us believe that Bishop could actually exist. But just when we want his role to go somewhere, it gets swallowed up in physicality. He spends a lot of the movie running and driving and getting beaten up. There's more going on inside the calculating Muir, and I have to register the irony that Redford, who once made movies that badmouthed the CIA, should now be playing a noble member of the company. Redford's always had it in him to pull off complex characters, for beneath his good looks there's a terrible coldness, what Pauline Kael once termed his male fascism. But even at age 64, he's reluctant to darken his image. So while he performs with more conviction than he's done in several years, he never quite owns up to Muir's ruthlessness in the way that, say, Gene Hackman would. He wants to stay golden. Of course, the producers want that too. For in the end, Spy Game isn't really about the down-and-dirty, hit-and-run morality of international espionage. It's about that old Hollywood wheeze redemption. Muir and Bishop turn out to be good guys, after all. And though the world they inhabit may be filled with murder and betrayal, Scott's pyrotechnic style is designed not to make us reflect on this, but to get our blood racing, to overwhelm all thoughts with his jittery editing, buttock-shaking sound, and the ultra-fast traveling shots we might term adrenaline cam. Anyway, who really cares about all that morality stuff when the stars are so good-looking? When they go to such exotic locations as Vietnam, divided Berlin, and war-torn Beirut? And when the violence is portrayed with such loving attention to detail? Especially when it's only foreigners who do the dying. 15 years ago, Scott directed Top Gun, which made being a naval flyer seem as glamorous as living inside a commercial. Now, just when America needs him most, he's done much the same thing for espionage and assassination. Spy Game is surely the most expensive CIA recruiting film of all time.
John Powers is executive editor of the LA Weekly.